Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology. Brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku.
And GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we explore the amazing world of science, cutting-edge issues which affect our life and our understanding of our role in the universe. And with us today, once again, is our favorite astronomer, Dr. Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books on astronomy, including Alchemy of the Heavens and Magnificent Mars. And today we're going to talk about the night sky. That's right. I tell my students one day, why don't you do something that you normally don't do? Look up. Don't look at the ground. Don't look at your feet. Don't think about the next final exam. Look up, and you'll see this whole universe of ours with a comet. Now, some people say that once in a lifetime, we are privileged to be able to see a comet lingering in the night sky. Well, if you missed Halley's Comet back in 1986, there's another comet gracing the evening sky called Neowise. And so we'll say a few things about where they come from, what they're made of, and what's all this fuss about the comet. And then the night sky, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury. You'll have a grand slam of the night sky with binoculars, with a telescope. Not to mention the fact that three countries are setting their sights on Mars. The United Arab Emirates already successfully had a launch. The Chinese and NASA, not too far behind, will also launch space probes. And in February of next year, we could have a traffic jam around Mars. And then we'll say a few things about our sun. Did you know that we are still debating the precise composition of the sun? So we'll say a few things about Jupiter and our sun. What do we know about the two giants of the solar system? And once again, if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest bestseller is called The Future of Humanity, Humanity in Outer Space. As we begin to go back to the moon in a few years, then on to Mars, perhaps in 15 or so more years, and who knows where we're going to go after that. Well, anyway, once again, we have with us online Dr. Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books in astronomy, including Alchemy of the Heavens and Magnificent Mars. So, Ken, once again, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Glad to be here, Michio.
Okay, let's talk about comets. Maybe some people missed Halley's Comet back in the 1980s, perhaps the most famous comet to go across the night sky every 76 years. But there's a smaller comet now hovering in the night sky. Perhaps you'll see it near the constellation of the Big Dipper. So let's talk about it. So first of all, what is the difference? The difference between a meteor and a comet?
Well, a meteor is something that just lasts for a few seconds, and you really have to be watching. You have to be lucky to see that meteor. It flashes by as a particle of dust burns up in our atmosphere. A comet is very different, although there is a relationship between comets and meteors, which I'll mention in a moment. But a comet simply lingers in the sky. You can see it night after night after night. It's not something that just flashes by in an instant. So you mentioned the most famous comet of all, that's Halley's Comet. And Halley's Comet, however, was not a great comet when it last passed by the Earth in 1986, and that's because it passed so far from the Earth. It was not a very prominent sight, so no one should feel bad that they missed Halley's Comet in 1986. And for that matter, it's also going to pass far from the Earth in its next passage in 2061. So that's not going to be a good pass either. For most of us here in the Northern Hemisphere, the last two great comets occurred in the 1990s, in two successive years. 1996 was Comet Hyakutake, followed by Comet Hale-Bopp in 1997. Those are both wonderful, wonderful comets. Now, the current comet is called NEOWISE, named for the spacecraft that discovered it. And it's not a great comet, but it's quite a nice comet, especially if you can observe it through binoculars, ideally getting away from city lights. Comets can look much better when you're out in the country than among city lights. But, yes, definitely some of the photographs I've seen of the comet have been very nice, but it's not terribly bright, so you really do have to know where to look. And as you pointed out, it's south of the Big Dipper, and the best time to look is shortly after sunset when it gets dark and look to the northwest. And ideally, you will have dark skies away from city lights. And let me mention the connection between comets and meteors. Comets, as they travel through space, sprinkle their orbit with dust particles. And if the Earth encounters those dust particles, we see a meteor shower. So, for example, every August, we see the Perseid meteor shower, and those Perseid meteors are the gift of a comet called Swift Tuttle, named for the two astronomers that discovered it. So there is a connection between comets and meteors, but comets are much easier to see in the sense that they don't just flash by in an instant. You can see them night after night after night.
Okay, well, speaking of Hale-Bopp comet, I still remember seeing it sailing over Manhattan, over Broadway. In spite of all the lights of Manhattan, you can actually see the Hale-Bopp comet sail over Broadway, which was quite a sight when I saw it myself. Well, this comet, NEOWISE, is going to return in 6,800 years. So if you missed it, you have a second chance to catch it on this next flyby 6,800 years from now. So then the next question is, well, where does it go for 6,800 years? Where do comets come from anyway? They've, of course, been the source of much speculation over millennia, but we now know. So where do comets come from anyway?
The comets such as NEOWISE came from the Oort cloud, which is located far beyond the orbits of Neptune and Pluto. These comets, we think, actually started off in the protoplanetary disk that gave birth to the solar system, that is, the planets of our solar system. And then the giant planets, through their gravity, kicked those objects either out of the solar system altogether or into the Oort cloud. And they remain bound, gravitationally bound to the sun. They orbit around the sun. You mentioned that NEOWISE goes around every 6,800 years. And so at their farthest point, you know, they're really far out. I mean, there are comets that are more than a light year from the sun. And so every now and then, one of these comets falls toward the sun on its highly elliptical orbit, passes by the Earth, and passes near the sun with the sun's heat, vaporizes some of the ice, and we see a nice, beautiful tail, and that's exactly what's going on now with comet NEOWISE.
And speaking of that, I think it was Johann Kepler who finally figured out where the tail of a comet comes from and which direction it points, because most people think that the tail of a comet is like the exhaust of a rocket. But that's not really true, right?
That's right. It always points directly away from the sun because it's the solar wind that blows the departing material away from the comet. So you cannot actually look at the tail and say, oh, yes, it's going in that direction. It may be going some completely different direction. All the tail tells you is where the sun is. So, for example, if you look at comet NEOWISE after sunset, the tail is pointing away from the sun, which at that time of the night will be beneath the horizon, beneath the western horizon.
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, to find out more about the show. And our special guest today is astronomer Ken Croswell, author of the book Alchemy of the Heavens. So stay tuned as we talk about the night sky, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury, right above our sky.
way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Attention Americans with an IRA or 401k. This is a message from the desk of Chuck Norris. It reads, fellow Americans, today we are facing uncertain times. Higher taxes, higher inflation, higher government spending, and higher debt. As a result, millions of Americans could see their life savings disappear. Now, I worked hard for my money, and I've worked even harder to keep it. And there's a small secret I learned along the way to keep Uncle Sam's hands out of my pocket. Let me show you right now. Pick up your phone and call 866-967-2808 and speak to a professional at Gold Co. to get a free copy of my 2021 special report. That's 866-967-2808. Call now and you'll learn the simple steps I took to protect myself. Now is not the time to sit back. It's time to fight back. Call 866-967-2808 and ask for my 2021 special report. If you don't fight for your money, who will? Call 866-967-2808 now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is once again astronomer Ken Croswell, author of the book Alchemy of the Heavens and Magnificent Mars. And we're talking about the night sky. Look up, and perhaps you'll see in the direction of the Big Dipper a comet. Comet Neowise. And as I understand, throughout human history, people have been fascinated by comets because they linger, not just for seconds, but for days, weeks in the night sky. Some people think they foretell the death of the king. And in 1066, a comet sailed over the battlefield of Hastings in England, and it spooked out the troops of King Harold, heralding the victory of William the Conqueror. So some people think that Halley's Comet, which sailed over England in 1066, in some sense spooked the troops of King Harold, paving the way for the modern British monarchy. So in some sense, maybe modern England is in the way it is because of a comet. So, Ken, comets, what are they made of now? We talked a little bit about ice. But how do they differ from the composition of meteors and asteroids?
Well, comets are described by the so-called dirty snowball model. And this is a model that was proposed in the early 1950s by Harvard astronomer Fred Whipple. He said that they consist of rock and a good deal of water ice. And as one of these objects near the sun, it heats up and some of the water ice vaporizes and pushes off gas and dust, and that's what accounts for that beautiful tail that you see in a comet. And then, of course, if the Earth runs into the particles that the comet has shed, then we see a meteor shower when those particles enter our atmosphere and burn up in the atmosphere.
Okay, and finally, what is the difference between asteroids and comets in terms of where they are located in the solar system and what they're made of?
Well, the comets come from far away, whereas most of the asteroids in our solar system are located closer to the sun, most of them between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter. And asteroids are rocky objects. Now, that doesn't mean they can't contain water ice. In fact, the largest asteroid Ceres does contain water ice, but comets are just much more, I guess you could say, much more glamorous objects, much more flamboyant objects, much more beautiful objects, because they come close to the sun and they, you know, the heat of the sun gives birth to their long tails. Asteroids are, shall we say, duller objects, but both asteroids and comets represent leftover building blocks from the formation of the planets of our solar system, and that's one reason that astronomers love to study them, is because both asteroids and comets give clues to how the solar system arose.
Well, every Hollywood scriptwriter wants to know about how dangerous they are. Can we have a comet hit the Earth? Now, some people say that comets that we track are periodic. That is, you wait long enough, they come back in elliptical orbit, and you can predict the next cycle. But some comets way out there in the Oort cloud, as you mentioned, could be non-periodic. That is, make just one pass through the solar system and catch us totally off guard. In fact, if one such comet went behind the sun, we wouldn't have any notice until it came away from the sun, and then we would only have a few weeks' warning before it hit the Earth. So tell us a little bit about the fact that, well, we're not going to be hit by a comet anytime soon, but non-periodic comets, comets that are non-periodic, we don't know when they're going to come back, do they pose a potential danger?
Well, yes, they do, and so do asteroids, for that matter. Any such, a very large impact could wipe out an enormous amount of life on Earth. That's what happened 66 million years ago when the dinosaurs went extinct, an asteroid hit the Earth measuring maybe 10 miles across, about 6 miles across, 10 kilometers across. Now, you mentioned the possibility that there are these very long period comets. I don't think any comet in the Oort cloud is non-periodic, just that over a human lifetime, of course, we're not going to see that comet come back twice. But if we could wait millions of years, then we would actually see the same comet come back twice. The so-called periodic comets are the ones that we do see coming back repeatedly. So, for example, the most famous comet, Halley's Comet, returns every 76 years. We last saw it in 1986. We'll see it again in 2061, and we can count on seeing it again in the 22nd century. So, yes, some comets we see repeatedly, and others we just see once because their orbital periods are so very long, like near wide.
Now, I understand that we have photographed the nucleus of Halley's Comet back in the 1980s, and the nucleus is about 20 miles across, about the size of Manhattan, and it's shaped like a peanut. It looks like two globs have been fused together to create a comet nucleus, which means that perhaps in the future, Halley's Comet may split apart into two pieces. So isn't it true that comets are sometimes unstable? Sometimes they hit the sun. Sometimes they split apart. Halley's Comet has been stable for thousands of years, but perhaps in the future it too will break apart. What are your thoughts?
Well, Halley's Comet is actually not quite as big as you said. It's more like 5 or 10 miles across. But you're absolutely right. We've observed comets split apart. For example, there was a comet in the 1800s called Biela's Comet that split into two as we were observing it. And the reason for that is almost certainly because of the stress put on the comet by the intense sunlight as the comet nears the sun and heats up. So, yes, we do see comets splitting up. They're not the most stable of bodies. They're not as stable as asteroids are. So comets can indeed break up, and indeed some of the comets that have hit Earth in the past and the Moon in the past probably have been pairs of comets that broke up as they just before they hit the Earth and the Moon.
Right, and as I understand, there was this monstrous meteor shower as the Earth went through the tail of a comet back in the 1800s. It was so astounding that it created religious groups. Doomsday cults came out as a consequence. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, some religious organizations can actually trace their lineage all the way back to the great meteor shower of the 1800s. So meteors and meteor showers and comets also affect human history as well. Well, let's say a few things now about the night sky. Let's say you're a kid and you want to get a telescope or a binoculars. First of all, what would you recommend for a beginner that wants to take a look at the night sky and see the rings of Saturn and take a look at what we have in our solar system? What would you suggest?
I would actually suggest getting a pair of binoculars first before you get a telescope and explore the night sky with binoculars, because binoculars are cheap. They're very easy to handle. They don't weigh a whole bunch. They're not, it's just then you may already have them. But that's a great way to explore the night sky. You won't be able to see the rings of Saturn with a pair of binoculars, but you will be able to see, for example, star clusters like the Pleiades. It's a beautiful star cluster. You can see it with the naked eye, but it looks absolutely stunning through a pair of binoculars. As far as things to see, I mean, Venus is a beautiful planet that is visible right now before sunrise in the east. You can also see Jupiter, which is rising in the southeast a few hours after sunset. And in fact, let me correct myself on that. Jupiter is rising right around sunset, because Jupiter is right now at opposition, along with Saturn. Jupiter and Saturn are right now together in the evening sky, and they'll be rising around sunset in the southeast. So those are some of the bright objects, easy to see objects that, you know, anyone should be able to find: Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn.
Now, children say the nursery rhyme, "Star light, star bright, first star I see tonight." Isn't it true that chances are that's not really a star that children see at all, but it's really the planet Venus, which is the brightest object other than the Moon? So isn't it possible that many people confuse Venus for a star?
Yes, and also Jupiter. Jupiter is also incredibly bright. In fact, the first star you see tonight probably will be Jupiter, since it's so much brighter than any star. Venus right now is in the morning sky, so it's definitely not going to be visible tonight.
Well, I remember when I got my first telescope. Well, let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, we'll continue a discussion of the night sky, the planet Mars, and also the controversy, what is the sun made of anyway? Once again, our special guest today is astronomer Ken Croswell, author of Alchemy of the Heavens, and you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Stay tuned.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Rescuers continue to look through the pile of rubble in Surfside, Florida, at the site of last week's collapse of a high-rise condo. 22 people are now confirmed dead. 22 are still missing. That number has been revised after duplicate names were removed and a few of the missing turned up safe.
Our detectives are continually editing this list as we verify every single report that we have received regarding a potentially missing person. And as a result, these numbers will continue to change.
Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine-Cava. The search efforts could be hampered by Elsa, the Category 1 hurricane. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
We don't know exactly the track that it's going to take. It is possible that we could see tropical force winds as early as Sunday night in southern Florida.
This is USA Radio News. A senior U.S. official is reporting that all U.S. forces have left Bagram Air Base. That's the main U.S. military base, which is 1 hour north of Kabul. President Biden has said that all U.S. troops will be completely out of Afghanistan by September 11th. The Boy Scouts of America has reached an agreement with attorneys that represent about 60,000 men who brought sex abuse claims against the organization over the years. Reuters is reporting the settlement totals $850 million. The Justice Department is pausing all federal executions while it conducts a review of its policies and procedures. Demonstrators in Canada have toppled statues of Queen Victoria and Queen Elizabeth II in protest of hundreds of remains that have been found at schools for Indigenous children. The protest took place on Canada's National Day, when cities throughout the country normally hold celebrations to mark the country's colonization by the British in 1867.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Science Fantastic. Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about the night sky. Let's do something that most people hardly ever do, and that is look up. That's right, look up. Don't look at the ground. Don't look at your feet. Don't mull over all the things you have to do today. Look up. Look at the night sky. Look for Venus. Look for Jupiter. Look for Mars. Look for this glorious solar system that we inhabit. And with us to guide us is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of Alchemy of the Heavens. Where we last left off, we were talking about some of the planets that you could see, like with the naked eye, Venus and Jupiter. However, I remember getting my first telescope. It was about a 3 or 4 inch reflector telescope. And I saw the rings of Saturn for the first time. And it was almost like an existential shock. I mean, this is better than any science fiction movie, because you know that this is reality. That there it is hovering above you, the rings of Saturn. So, Ken, tell us, if you are an astronomer that wants to know a little bit more about the universe and you're finished with the binoculars, what's the next step beyond the binoculars that will reveal the rings of Saturn?
And that would be a small telescope. And indeed, a small telescope can see the rings of Saturn, which are very impressive. There are other planets in our solar system, including Jupiter, Uranus, and Neptune, all of which have rings too, but none compare to the rings of Saturn. Other Saturn's rings are absolutely stunning. And it's a question, it's an open question, a scientific question, how common are such beautiful planets in our universe? We don't know. We know that giant planets are quite common, but how many of them have such stunning rings the way Saturn does, we just don't know. But yes, the next step up after you explore the night sky with binoculars, and if you're still into doing astronomy, the next step up would be to get a telescope, maybe a 6-inch, an 8-inch telescope would definitely reveal the rings of Saturn.
And not to mention the fact that your cell phone allows you to project the night sky right in front of you. You just look at the direction of north, and some cell phones already know the direction of north. And from that, you can see the whole night sky with all the stars with their names listed for you right there on your cell phone. So the planets, when you look at the arrangement of the planets, when you look at the entire night sky, don't they follow into a line, a plane, the ecliptic plane? So in some sense, you can actually trace the location of the planets by looking for the disk, the plane of the solar system, right?
That's right. So, for example, right now, Jupiter and Saturn are very close together east of the constellation Sagittarius, and they would make a line with the sun, if you could imagine an imaginary line extending all the way to the west, beneath the horizon to where the sun is, and also the moon follows that same line, that more or less, because all the planets, with the exception of Eris, are more or less in the same plane. Even Pluto, by the way, is pretty close to that plane. It's not exactly in it. But the planets form from a disk of gas and dust, a flat disk of gas and dust, and that's why most of them are still more or less near that plane to this day.
And also, when I look for Venus, I look in the direction of the sun, because Venus is closer to the sun than the Earth. So yeah. When the sun sets, I can see Venus. But Mercury is very close to the sun, and I've never seen it. I've never seen Mercury. I guess you would have to time it very carefully. When the sun goes down, you then look for this bright object in the night sky. So what is the best way if you want to see Mercury, given the fact that it's close to the sun? Oh, let's take another short commercial break, and then we're going to continue with the discussion of the solar system, Mars, and what is the sun made of? Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with Youngevity. Teamgaday.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, with us on the line is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens, Magnificent Mars, The Universe at Midnight. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org. mkaku.org. On Facebook, we have about 3 million fans on Facebook, and I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers that are listed on my website. Well, let's talk about the night sky. We mentioned the fact that once you graduate from binoculars, you may want to get a small reflecting telescope. I've seen with the naked eye Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, but Mercury I've never seen, because apparently it's quite difficult to see it because it's very close to the sun. So are there any tricks by which you can see the planet Venus at sunset?
Well, I think you mean Mercury. Mercury is really difficult to see. I've only seen it maybe 4 times in my entire life. And you're right, you have to time it just right. You can only see it either low in the western sky right after sunset or low in the eastern sky right before sunrise. And right now, Mercury is visible right before sunrise in the eastern sky, but you have to time it right. And the reason it's so hard to see is because even though Mercury is a fairly bright planet, you're looking for that fairly bright planet against the sky that is also quite bright. You're looking for that planet against the dawn sky. And so there's a lot of light. It's not nearly as easy as something like Jupiter or Saturn. Jupiter and Saturn you can see against a very dark sky. So Mercury is a challenge. You do have to time it right. Right now, here in July, it turns out that Mercury is visible in the eastern sky before sunrise. But you have to have an unobstructed view to your east in order to see it. And you have to get up pretty early in order to see it right now. So as I say, I've only seen it maybe 4 times in my life, so don't feel too bad if you've never seen the planet Mercury. It's hard to see. And by the way, historically, we didn't know much about Mercury until we sent a spacecraft there in 1975, because it is very hard to observe the planet from Earth.
Okay, and moving on, there's the planet Mars. Now, people may be disappointed when they buy their telescope. They want to see the canals of Mars. First of all, Mars has no canals. Second, it's very small. It is red because of rust, but you cannot see surface features unless you have a much larger telescope. Sorry about that. However, 3 countries are aiming for the red planet. The United Arab Emirates had a successful launch. The Chinese are going to follow that up, and then the United States will launch its probe shortly afterwards. So we're going to have a traffic jam around Mars, and NASA is going to put a helicopter on Mars, and rock retrieval is on the agenda as well.
So do you have a few words to say about what's new about the recent missions planned for Mars with helicopters and rock retrieval?
Well, the NASA mission will be quite interesting. It's called Perseverance, and it's going to land, if all goes well, on February 18th of 2021. That just happens to be the anniversary of the discovery of the planet Pluto. And Mars and Pluto actually have a connection because Percival Lowell opened an observatory to study the planet Mars, but during his life he led a secret search for a ninth planet, which after his death resulted in the discovery of the planet Pluto. Perseverance is a very large rover, and it weighs over 2,000 pounds, okay? So it's going to do a lot. It's going to carry a very small helicopter, as you mentioned. It's just kind of an experiment to see if that will work on Mars in the very thin Martian atmosphere.
Okay, and rock retrieval. Tell us a little bit about the fact that we actually already have rocks from Mars on the planet Earth. Think about that. Rocks from Mars, perhaps maybe in your backyard. So how do we know that Martian rocks have actually landed on the Earth?
Well, we look at the isotopic ratios of gases in those rocks, and they match those of the Martian atmosphere. They're meteorites that have come from Mars. They used to be rocks on the surface of Mars, and something hit Mars, blasted those rocks into space, and those rocks then drifted through space and eventually encountered the Earth, and we found them. Now, of course, most meteorites do not come from Mars. They come from elsewhere, but a few do come from Mars.
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break, and after the break, we're going to talk about mysteries of the solar system, like the Sun. Do we really know what the Sun is made of? And Jupiter, where did these gas giants come from anyway? Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
This is how we do every day. We be grinding. And if you want to come and text us,
if you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, with us on the line is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens. And today we're talking about, well, the night sky, our own backyard. If you haven't, go outside, look up, see the fact that there could be a comet lingering in the direction of the Big Dipper, and realize that there's a whole solar system out there waiting to be discovered. Venus, the brightest object in the night sky other than the moon, can be seen, not to mention Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury, and Mars is in the target of several nations. We have the United Arab Emirates, the Chinese, and the United States all gunning for Mars. And in February of next year, there could even be a traffic jam as we have all these space probes reaching the red planet. In fact, every 26 months, we have a window of opportunity. It's no accident that we have these probes being launched within days of each other, and not to outdo each other, but it's simply a question of aeronautics. We have a window of opportunity where the shortest distance between us and and Mars by rocket is by going through this window every 26 years. So Mars is on the agenda. But there's some mysteries which are still lingering. For example, what is the sun made of anyway? You know, Auguste Comte, the great French philosopher, once made a challenge to the world of astronomy and physics. He challenged some physicists around the world. He said that science will know many things about the world, but there's one thing that we will never, ever know, and that is what the planets and what the stars are made of. Well, just a few years after Auguste Comte made that challenge, physicists said, hydrogen. It's made out of hydrogen because they looked at the spectral lines, shot the lines through a prism, and they found a fingerprint of the spectral lines of hydrogen. And a mystery mineral that they called helium, they thought it was a mineral, and helium was first found in the sun by looking at starlight. So Ken, right now, as I understand, there's yet another controversy as we get finer and finer understanding of what the sun is made of. So explain to us the latest controversy.
Yes, this has been going on for the last 20 years. We don't know exactly what the sun is made of. We do know, as you just said, that it's made mostly of hydrogen and helium, which are the two most common elements in the universe, and the two lightest elements as well. But then we are really confused. We don't know how abundant the next most abundant elements are. Those are oxygen, carbon, neon, and nitrogen. Three of those four elements, of course, are very important for life. Oxygen, we breathe it. Carbon, life is based on it. Nitrogen is part of protein. And the reason this is so very important is because we astronomers use the sun as our standard for elemental abundances throughout the universe. So if we don't know what the sun is made of, we don't know what the other stars are made of, and we don't know what the entire universe is made of. And I recently wrote about this problem at Noble Magazine. You can go to noblemagazine.org and read all about it. It's called An Elemental Problem with the Sun. And astronomers are at loggerheads over this. They do not know. There are two different methods for determining the composition of the sun, and they give two different answers. One gives a 42% lower abundance of oxygen than the other. And so we just don't know what the sun is made of in terms of how much oxygen it has relative to hydrogen, how much carbon it has relative to hydrogen, how much nitrogen it has relative to hydrogen. Now, the good news is there are experiments ongoing that we hope will answer this question in the next 10 years. And in fact, just recently, you may have heard that there was the detection of neutrinos from the CNO cycle in the sun. The CNO cycle involves carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen. And the hope is that as we measure more and more of those neutrinos, those will tell us just how much carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen the sun has, and thus resolve this controversy. So if you want to read more about that, you can just go to the Knowable Magazine website and look for an elemental problem with the sun.
Okay, well, back in the 1800s, Fraunhofer, the one who first found out what the sun is made of, took starlight and sunlight, put it through a prism, and by looking at the spectral lines, you have a fingerprint of different elements like hydrogen, helium, and stuff like that. And he said, aha, I see the spectral lines of hydrogen. But that doesn't give you the composition of the entire sun. It just gives you the composition of the surface of the sun in terms of starlight. So you mentioned a second method. What is the second method by which we determine the composition of the sun other than looking at starlight?
Well, it turns out that the sun vibrates just as the Earth vibrates. On Earth, we call those vibrations earthquakes. They're not the most pleasant things, especially if there is a strong earthquake. But geologists use those to probe the interior of the Earth. Likewise, astronomers use the vibrations in the sun to probe the inside of the sun. And it turns out that those measurements can tell you a lot about the inside of the sun. And the exact structure of the solar interior depends on how much oxygen and other heavy elements the sun has. So that's the other method for determining how much oxygen the sun has. And those measurements of the interior give you a higher number for the number of oxygen atoms in the sun than does the first method, in which you look at the sunlight and analyze, well, okay, how many oxygen atoms are there relative to hydrogen? And so, as I say, the hope is we'll be able to resolve this matter in the next 10 years. But for the past two decades, we've been arguing about it, and we just don't know who's right.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. Once again, our special guest has been Dr. Ken Croswell, author of the book Alchemy of the Heavens. So, Ken, once again, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Okay, and if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. We have 3 million fans on Facebook. And every week, we discuss the cutting edge of science and technology on Science Fantastic. And give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, and bingo, maybe you can get on national media.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.